from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bob, do you agree with me on this? The Olympics are too long.
Yes. Yes, I
like,
do.
To me, I feel like it should be a television show that goes on maybe for a week.
It's 2 weeks. It's 16 days. Hey, too long.
That's too long. It's too much. I'm tired of turning on, flipping through the channels, and now we're into the stupid sports session where, you know, you turn it on, they sometimes have equestrian on.
You know, like rock climbing they're doing right now?
Rock climbing, you know what I mean?
I admire. They have the trampoline thing, which is unbelievable. Yeah. There are some things I would really admire, just that you get a heavy dose of them now, and, you know, I guess it's okay once every 4 years.
They should make it a television show. People want to watch the gymnastics, the track, the swimming. The women's beach volleyball, not the men's beach. Women's beach volleyball.
That's what they make it on NBC in the prime time at the Olympic Games pretty much every night.
Just make it the sports we want to watch. Here's the thing. If you want to dump on, what is this, True and E! Channel and some of the channels that I would never watch
USA.
Anyway, if you want to dump all the other stuff on that, I'm good with it. But
this rock climbing is difficult, by the way. Guy from France just fell down. And they make it almost impossible to look at him. There's no room to put your feet there, Paul, and he's trying to get to another level and he can't. That's the second guy who's fallen in a row.
Have you ever tried rock climbing? Like at one of the rock climbing places? It's difficult.
It's difficult, and I did it with a couple of drinks in me. I shouldn't have done that because
that might have been your problem, Bob.
The rocks were looking like pebbles.
No, I needed it for my nerves, but then it threw my balance off.
Yeah, I have no interest in doing that. Climbing a wall, why? But people do it. Listen, some of the things that, like, for instance, like you said, the trampoline thing, that is insane. It's a lot of fun to watch, you know, one of the routines or two of the routines, but after about the second one, you're like, okay, this all looks the same to me.
I would like to know the person who comes up with these rocks and how they're situated, because it's almost impossible to get from one to the other. Watch this dude. He did it. But it's just... They have it in a way that you can you have to be extremely agile, and I guess that's what they're looking for. Who's the most agile to get to this rock, to that rock?
Well, again, I just think, you know, listen, I enjoy some of the events.
Paul, Sports Illustrated brought up a list of 10 sports ideas that potentially could be added to the 2032 Brisbane Games in Australia.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to hear this list? I talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Go ahead.
This is just ridiculous. One being bowling. Should bowling be in the Olympics? Oh.
Go ahead.
Chess.
Well, that would be a lot of fun.
Q sports, meaning pool, I guess.
Right.
Dragon boat. Have you ever heard of dragon boat? I've never heard of dragon boat.
No, I thought that was a drink.
Disc golf.
Well, I've seen that. Disc golf is interesting. But again, I don't know how it actually would look on television to the point. They'd have to have cameras in a lot of different places to make it work.
I'm sure it would look better than rock climbing.
To each his own.
Muay Thai. Netball.
It sounds like an appetizer at a restaurant.
I think it's like MMA.
May I have some Muay Thai?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Netball. Roller sports. Rugby league nines. I guess rugby with nine players instead of seven. In wakeboarding and water skiing. I'd be okay with water skiing and disc golf. Maybe bowling. But like chess, pool, whatever dragon boat is. Netball.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there a USA netball team out there?
See, well, they do it too that you can't really, you look at the ratings, and they're not going to be always big ratings because people are interested. I get it. But they're spread over so many networks now, it's hard to gauge which one of these. But Paul, you're right. It's gymnastics. It's swimming. They always attract the biggest attention. Basketball has dipped a little bit. And I think because there is such a dominance by USA and just the way this is set up, I don't know the people. Now, beach volleyball, I think is pretty interesting to me. I watch it and I like it. So, anyway, they don't have football in the Olympics, but we do have it coming up this week, finally.
Well, they will have flag football in the 2028 games in L.A.
Flag footballs, yeah, that's – but although some will say the NFL is heading in that direction with some of the rules in place, you know.
Now, do you think that the NFL will greenlight guys like Patrick Mahomes to play in flag football, Tyreek Hill? If so, like, I mean,
if it means ratings and money, yes. Why wouldn't you? You know?
But does the NFL get a piece of that ratings and money? Does
absolutely
the NBA? So the NBA gets, because I'm
absolutely
unaware of this.
Absolutely they
do. Does the NBA get a cut of
There's
the
always
Olympics
a cut.
For their guys going?
Why would you let them do it if you didn't?
Right.
Fair point. Didn't think about it that way.
Well, here's the thing, too. I turned on badminton. Did you watch any of the badminton? Those people are nuts. A
couple minutes, yeah.
They fire that thing at each other, right?
Is what's the new sport? Pickleball. Is that a sport in the Olympics?
It should
is
not
be.
In the Olympics.
It will be.
Eventually, it probably will be.
Ping pong?
Ping pong is in the Olympics, yes.
Well, then definitely then pickleball will
maybe
be.
Maybe pool should be, if ping pong is. We're going to put air hockey in to the Winter Olympics?
No, we have that on the real ice. We don't need it in the air.
Could you imagine if, by the advancements that esports are taking off, if that eventually goes to the Olympics? I would not surprise me.
Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. City Limits. I'm surprised if not more than what you've mentioned won't be included. So
how does Sports Illustrated not mention those?
I don't know.
Food for thought, Paul.
Well, yeah, food for thought. All right, let's go back to more food for thought. Bob, you're going to be calling this Steeler game on Friday night.
Friday night, KDKA. Yes, we're looking
KDKA,
forward to it.
And it's the first Steeler game, and I'm assuming we're not going to see, we'll start here because we always start here, we're assuming we're not going to see Russell Wilson.
I would think not, given the fact that he's been very gingerly going through this entire thing, not until yesterday that we see the 11-on-11 opportunity. So, I mean, he needs to get time with this unit at some point. I don't know if it'll be this week, though. Justin Fields is just been on the number ones for the big majority of the time, and I would expect that he's going to get a lot of playing time in this game. I think they'll also get Kyle Allen a look in this. I'm not sure what we'll find later in the week when Mike Tomlin has a press conference about his plans for this game. But right. It's also the new Arthur Smith era, and even though I know what we're going to see through them, Paul, which is a heavy dose of run, which is what he believes in, you still have to wonder about what they do in the pass game and who is going to take some pressure off George Pickens.
Right. I mean, so, they don't really have – I mean, have you been out to camp? Have you seen any of it?
Not as much as those who cover it every day.
Is this Van Jefferson playing as well as we're told that he's playing?
From what I can understand, yes. I also think Quez Watkins has a history that they like. He was at one point Philadelphia and the second leading receiver one year. There were injuries involved. Roman Wilson got hurt, so I don't expect to see him on Friday, but we will see him at some point, I would think. He needs that. But Quez Watkins, people don't – back in 2021, he started 12 games, and he had 647 receiving yards for Philadelphia. So he's been in that, as has Van Jefferson, as has Scotty Miller. Those two guys have Super Bowl rings, so – yeah, they have experience. The problem is, can they get enough separation? Can they get enough attention from other teams' defenses to make available guys like Pickens, Jaylen Warren out of the backfield, Pat Freiermuth?
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think that the thing that I always get crazy about, I would say, is camp, the way that they cover camp is just, to me, everything is rosy and great, and everyone is rosy and great. I mean, to hear these people talk now, Justin Fields is like the greatest quarterback to come out of, you know what I'm saying? Well, you have no idea.
Just remember Kenny Pickett last year in practice and also the exhibition preseason games. He was lights out, and there was a whole different conclusion at the end of the year. So, yeah, it's good, but we'll see.
Right.
I mean, I still think at some point Arthur Smith is going to utilize, even if he's not the starting quarterback, although he's putting a push that he could be. Even though pole positions mean what they mean, that doesn't mean you're guaranteed anything. People have had pole positions in races and not won races. So Justin Fields has made up ground just because Russell Wilson hasn't been out there to do it. And if he shows that he's capable of it, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up as a starting quarterback in Atlanta, even though you know, odds are right now that it'd be Russell Wilson.
Well, again, I just think that I'm reading all this stuff about Justin Fields. I think people are talking themselves into he's going to be a really good quarterback based on what they're seeing, you know, at camp and whatnot. I'll get up to camp this week probably, so I'll be able to see it for myself. But I don't know, man. I just don't get all that excited about it.
Well, the only thing that makes me wonder is that nobody really wanted him after – you know, there were times last year in Chicago where he had four touchdown passing games. He was dominant in those games. Then he followed it up with three interception games and very erratic, missing guys. So it's an unfinished business with him. It's still a work in progress in many levels of his game. But the ultimate talent is there, and they can do a lot with that talent. So I know this, when they get to goal line, two-point conversions, or short yardage, I wouldn't be surprised to see Justin Fields in the game only because of his athletic ability and what it gives you another thing for a defense to worry about.
Yeah. I just feel like it gets to a point where, you know, we've seen Justin Fields play for how many years now? But this is his fourth year, right?
Yeah, fourth year.
I mean, I'm not saying that he might not be a good player, but the hyperbole is reaching a fever pitch. It sort of reminds me of, was it last year when Kenny Pickett ran? It feels like it's been so long ago. I got to remember, but it was last year. Kenny Pickett was still on this team last year, right?
Correct.
Yes, and he was dominant in the
preseason. He had like six drives, and they were all touchdowns.
Five and all,
whatever
five,
it was. Yeah. And everybody was going crazy about it. And I'm like, could we wait till the season begins before we go crazy about it?
Yeah, well, that's why
I'm not saying Justin Fields can't be a great player or a good player or whatever. But I have to see it in regular season games before I'm going to get all that giddy about it.
Well, all he can do is do it up there now, which he is. And so that paves the way for him to get a lot of playing time, I would imagine, here in this first game. The first two at home, you got the Texans and you have Buffalo. The third one, not so much. I think that's going to be more for, you know, people trying to impress the coaches just to get on the roster. But I think these first two, especially because they're home, you should see a pretty healthy dose of both quarterbacks, assuming Russell Wilson is, you know, able to go. Yeah. He needs the time. You know, he doesn't have to. He's going to get $40 million total this year, 39 from Denver. It's not all he has to do is be on a roster and be functional, and he'll get that money. However, he's made it sound like he wants to play for seven more years, and he's legitimately excited about this team. But because it is a new team, because you have a whole new offensive line, essentially, that's been reconstructed over 2 years in a row, not just with draft picks, but free agent additions, he needs time in there. He needs to get a flow for this at some point. And games are where I don't care how many years he has in the league. He has to get some time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. But my point, again, always, I just have to see it to believe it. And I think, now, here's a question about Russell Wilson. Is he going to play this year?
What do you mean?
Is it a fair question yet? Are we still too early in camp? And I know Mike said the pole position thing and all the other stuff he said yesterday. But are we at the point where if he misses another week or two and Justin Fields does play reasonably well, that Justin Fields is a starter and we never see Russell Wilson?
That's a possibility for sure. But I got to believe, though, that Wilson's going to be, you know, functional enough to play in some of these games early that he wouldn't lose that pole position.
Right.
But again, you never know. There were a lot of things I didn't think last year that turned out to be exact opposite of what we were talking about at the preseason. So I think it's a fascinating thing to see. I never would have expected the Steelers would completely change, not just offensive coordinators, but the entire quarterback room. That's something that you don't see very much. But I think by all accounts, Omar Khan did a good job in deciding we need a veteran guy. We also need someone with a lot of experience. We got the, you know, a guy who's number, what was he? What was Fields? 9 overall in the draft? Whatever he was, 10 overall. You know, that's a guy who has high pedigree, and his talent level is obvious to anyone who watches. He's just got to put it together. Maybe in this offense he can. I think, you know, with Arthur Smith coming in, his job is not an easy one in the sense that under Matt Canada, these guys were really struggling. 21st, 26th, and 28th in 3 years, offensive scoring. You can't have that. Not with this group. You got to score a lot more, you know, especially given your defense a break. It's an aging defense. So that's got to change. It's about red zone production and who will step up in red zone.
Right. Well, and obviously Justin Fields has the kind of skill set that should be good in the red zone.
That's what I'm saying. You should see him in there, especially on, you know, down by the goal line.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you do that? Wilson can still move, I think, but not like Justin Fields. And in these 7 shots, they've been using him a lot in those kind of stretch plays where he has options, and he's got an amazing amount of talent, no question.
That's what I would tell you is important. It's just going to be really interesting to see if he can drop back, consistently make throws, on time, and everything else. And do it in a way that every single week it happens. That's when I'll believe it. I think that
their schedule, you know, we talked about their schedule last year potentially being easy, and they got a lot of breaks with injured quarterbacks, you know, Paul. This year, not so much. Injuries still, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. But the last part of their season, man, they better be at their best, or they better build up some insulation so that they don't have to win every one of those games, because there are a lot of head-to-head, 3 games in 11 days scenarios against teams they're going to have to deal with. So the early part of the season, they better take advantage of it if they can.
Right. That's the thing about it. I think he's going to do the dynamic. He's going to do the dynamic and the big play stuff. He's going to do the, you know, things that, wow, there's not a whole lot of other guys in the league that can make that play. But right. On 3rd and 6, can he hit on time accurately the guy running the slant or the guy running the out or whatever to get 7 yards in a first down? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you need to see. You know, can he consistently hit George Pickens down the field accurately to make those big chunk plays?
And stay away from interceptions, because quite frankly, he's been an interception machine.
Right.
And those are killers for drives. Also puts your defense in bad situations. So those are all big things that – but the talent is there, Paul. You know, you see him out there. It's night and day, his ability to create stuff.
Right. I just think that it's important to We know, we've seen him for 4 years. We kind of know who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know who he is, but what he has to do is refine who he is. That's all. He's got the talent. He's got the arm to do it, I think. He's very good at moving the football with his legs, but he's got to stay away from mistakes.
Right.
If you do that, you know, that's when he becomes an effective quarterback in the National Football League, and they may look back, a lot of teams, and say, how in the world did he end up going for just a 6th-round pick? We had a chance to get him. So that's going to be one of the – and that's also one of the reasons why I think the Steelers are picked 4th in the division right now, Paul, because people don't know these answers. You know, you have certainty with Joe Burrow. You have certainty with, Lamar Jackson, what he's been able to do, and to some degree with what's going on in Cleveland, even though I'm not sold on Deshaun Watson, but the potential is there. So we'll see. The Steelers have a lot of questions to answer. It all starts Friday. I look forward to it. I'll tell you one of the most complicated things, though, is this overhaul of the kicking game. The NFL has gone very radical with this. It's a hard thing to explain. You have to watch it. There are going to be a lot of penalties, I would imagine, because people are not going to get it at first. Patterson, who they brought here as the kickoff guy, who's got 9 returns, NFL record. He's even confused at times with it. So, you got setup zones, you got landing zones, you got guys not allowed to move until the ball's touched or hits the ground. It's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, it is. It is very, very interesting to see. The other thing is this new offense. I'm assuming we're not going to see a whole lot of it, right? On Friday. I'm assuming we're not going to see. They're not going to show a whole lot of the new offense, right?
I would imagine not. They're going to, it is what it is. It's preseason. You want to get some snaps. You do want to, again, because I think Arthur Smith is a run-first guy. They want to get that line moving a little bit, see what they do in these situations. They're only going to be in there for a little bit of time, so how could you really do anything? So, yeah. You won't see anything until Atlanta on September the 8th on opening weekend. That's when you'll see different, especially because it's Arthur Smith's return to Atlanta. I imagine he's going to go all out in that game.
Right. Well, no. No.
No, in the first game, I mean.
Oh.
In Atlanta.
Yeah. I was going to say, my thing is, I can't remember a time when they did this where you played a preseason game against the team that you opened with. Or, you know what I mean?
Well,
I'm sorry. I got what you're saying. No, I was confused, yes.
Yeah, you're not going to see much this week, next week.
This week.
Next week you'll see a little bit more because it's the second game and the more playing time game. But, I don't know about you, but defensively, there are some concerns there. Who really is opposite of Joey Porter Jr.? They have a collection of people, just like they do at wide receiver. Potentially one or two can jump out, maybe. Is it Jackson, who they got from Carolina for the Deontay Johnson trade? Maybe. Can it be Corey Trice, who's injured last year, all this potential? Maybe. I think the key to their defense, though, to be honest, is Minkah Fitzpatrick playing the way he's normally used to playing, which is roaming that back area, coming up with interceptions and big plays down the field. I think they were kind of handcuffed last year a little bit because they couldn't do that as much as they would like. He's a big part of what goes on with them defensively.
Right. It's just one of those things that to me, I feel like there's something to be gained when you watch these preseason games. You can see some individual players show out and play well, but I don't put a ton of stock into them. And almost because it's hard to figure out, sometimes you can see, okay, it's the ones versus the ones. But how much do you really think Justin Fields is going to, especially if Russell Wilson's hurt? How much are they going to put, or whatever he is? How much are they really?
He'll play a series or two.
They'll bring the other guy because they don't want him. They don't want him getting hurt. I mean, how long will we see Najee Harris and company? Probably not.
I don't think you're going to see Najee Harris at all.
Right.
I would be shocked. They didn't do that last year, to my recollection. If they did, it was very minimally. You might see him for a little bit. Maybe I take that back. Maybe a couple plays just to get a little taste of it all. But that's all. I think for guys like Zach Frazier and Troy Fontanu, those guys need to get some work. They're going to be called upon as rookies to be big contributors. You can't go into the first week of the season not having any of that. Bill Belichick used to play his first team for a first half on a regular basis in the preseason. So there's a lot to be said for when you have an entirely new offensive line, basically, over 2 years period. They got to get some reps together in these kinds of games.
Yeah, they do, but they're not going to.
Well, that's the question.
Is Broderick Jones going to play?
No, but I think Fontanu and Frazier are going to be called upon to be
regulars.
They're
going to have to, right?
They can't not play, right?
But I'm just saying, how much are they really realistically going to play these guys? I think you're going to see maybe 2 series. I know there's only three preseason games instead of 4, but all I'm trying to say is I think that you are looking at this team and you're saying to yourself, okay, well, T.J. Watt probably is not going to play.
No, he's not going to play.
Cam Hayward's probably not going to play. Minkah's probably not going to play. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. might play a series, right? But not much more than that. I mean, you look across the board, the guys that make this team, we're not going to see much of them. But
Well, I really don't think you have to, but I think the offense is a different situation. They have guys who haven't played. They need to play.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised in week two that they play an entire first half.
Really?
Yeah.
Next week, you mean?
Next week against the Bills. I think if you looked back at last year, the reason Kenny Pickett only got five possessions is because they were all good. If Mike Tomlin is satisfied with what they see, then you don't have to do anymore. But let's say they go out and they really struggle, Paul. Let's say their first three possessions are awful and they look like no cohesion. He's one of these guys who's going to want to see something.
Yes.
I understand the risk involved with that, but I also know that you got to get young guys ready to play.
Right. Right. I mean, I think that's the big thing. You have to make sure that you get your young guys ready to play.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
City Limits, we might have to take back all the bad things we said about the 3-on-3 team, the women's team.
The men's team is eliminated. I don't think they made the playoffs, the bracket round. But, yeah, the women's team's doing very well now.
The women's team is actually, if they win this game, they'll be in the gold medal game.
Right, yeah, they're in the semifinal right now. So I learned also, Paul, they won it all last year.
Oh, did they?
That was news to me. I did not know that. The women's team won last year's championship. They won the gold medal game.
Was it this group?
I don't believe so,
Was it the world championship? Was that a charge or a block? I didn't see. But anyway.
Yeah, it looked like a charge.
The men, did you see how they, their last game yesterday? Did you see the score of it?
It was a blowout.
They lost to the Netherlands. 21-6, I think, was the final score.
I don't even know how that's possible in this 3-on-3 basketball format to lose that poorly.
Right.
They did win a couple of games, though. I know they beat China. And they beat someone else. I can't remember if it was Canada or whoever it was, where we were giving some crap to Canyon Berry.
Yes.
He was balling out in those games. He
and scored Jimmer Fredette.
He scored, well, Jimmer Fredette, I think barely played. But Berry had 15 points, I think, in both games.
Well.
So I'm sorry. I wasn't familiar with his game. Everyone else, not very good. But Canyon Berry, I got some respect for him.
I don't think, I'll tell you the one thing. I don't think there is a 3-second rule in this game, is there?
No, I don't think so.
It just seems like they stand in there forever.
Only a 12-second shot clock.
Right.
Haley Van Lith is balling out this game, but it's weird. Like, she'll make like 3 layups in a row, and then she'll miss like a couple open shots.
Right.
And then she just made the layup to give them the lead with a minute left.
Yeah, they might be in the gold medal game.
We're going to have to take back all the crap that we talked on them for. I mean, didn't they start out like 0-3?
Yeah, they were bad early on, and they just couldn't win.
Maybe they just needed some chemistry getting used to France.
40 seconds left. It's a tie game. There's your girl.
Yeah, Haley Van Litt. And she threw the ball away. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
that was supposed to be a pass.
I think it was a foul. Did they
call a foul?
No, they didn't. But the girl got tackled.
Bob, are you interested in 3-on-3 basketball? They call it 3x3 in the Olympics.
My silence should give you the answer.
Well, I figured that.
Yes. But this is something we were talking about last week. Because the men and the women both they both started off 0-3. So we're like, how can we be this bad in basketball? Any basketball.
No business in any type of basketball. 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 1-on-1s, 5-on-5, 7-on-7s. That the U.S. should never be failing in basketball.
You can watch this if you want. I prefer, like, if I'm going to watch some, there are two things that intrigue me about things I don't really cover or watch a lot. Number one would be the endurance of people who swim.
I love watching Olympic
swimming.
Water
polo. You talk about endurance. Try to play that, number one. And the other thing that I've never understood how they can do this is synchronized swimming. When they, everything, you talk about it has to match 100%. There's no mistake involved. Synchronized swimming is one of the most intriguing things to me. Just because I don't know how much practice you have to put in, you know, to be in that situation. It's insane.
NBC swimming announcers, I think Dan Hicks and Rowdy Gaines, they are the best announcers at the Olympics by far of any event.
Do you watch water polo?
I've watched some of it,
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. They're treading water the whole entire time.
There's no break. And then you get the ball, you got to go up. The goalkeeper has to do the same. It's not easy.
No. Ton of endurance is necessary for that.
Yeah, really.
Overtime, Paul. 3-on-3.
Overtime.
Now, their overtime rules are weird. I think you have to score 2 points to win. I don't understand it. Like, I think when they played Canada, Canada made a layup, and then the U.S. came back with a three, and they won. Kind of weird. I guess they played like a target score. It's like 2 points higher than that.
Well, so, yeah. Is it like an Elam ending type thing where you're the first team to two wins?
I think it is.
I mean, I think that's how they do it, right? No, I'm not looking it up. I'm just wondering if that's how they do it. Anyway, nevertheless, I think it's how they do it. It's like an Elam.
Yeah, I think it is.
Because it's usually the first team to two. That's why they have to get out on the line like that. Right?
I mean, I think if you make a three, it's over. So that's why everybody basically plays for the three. Only 2 seconds left on the shot clock. Terrible three.
Ooh, almost went
But the boxing out and rebounding has also been a significant disadvantage for the
U.S.
Look how they're
guarding the two. They're
guarding the line.
You might as well take the layup if they're going to give you a layup, right? And then if you get a stop, you can win with a layup.
They're going to go for the three. U.S. is just going to try to win on a three. And, I mean, if you hit the three ball, you move on.
There it is.
There's the three.
No.
Airballed. That's probably your game.
Well, we'll see what happens. But here's the thing. They still, even if they lose this, they would play for the bronze.
Right. When you win gold the year before, the expectation is you win gold again.
I'm always amazed how we can be this. Like, we got killed by the Netherlands. Well, the game we watched that night, what was it? Lithuania, the one day we watched.
Yeah, Lithuania beat them.
Yesterday they got killed by the Netherlands.
They're sleeping on the Netherlands, Paul. Yeah. Maybe they're good at 3-on-3 basketball. Maybe they practice it more than we do.
Bob, do you watch the basketball? I mean, the NBA guys?
A little bit, but I'm just not. It's not compelling enough for me. First of all, I give LeBron James all the props in the world. At his age, to do what he's doing, and especially early in their games, he was the reason they won games while other guys were not. He and Kevin Durant, both those guys were doing things that younger guys weren't doing. There was a game where Steph Curry went 0-for-6, for example, was a non-factor. LeBron picked him up. But as far as the competitive balance of this, I get no interest in watching. There are some better teams, but none of them should be able to compete with the United States.
They called a foul on the U.S., and now Spain can just make a free throw and win, I think. Yeah, if they make the free throw, it's over. So that's how the game ends, on a foul.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you suggesting they shouldn't have called a foul? Because well,
no,
a foul,
I'm suggesting right? that you should just not give up the foul there. And now Spain won. Yeah, so I guess it is a target scored at two.
Yeah.
That's a stupid
the U.S.
ending.
Loses.
Yeah,
that's a stupid ending. If you're going to sell that product, you better come up with a better way.
Why is overtime to two? I mean, that's just dumb.
Listen, I coach AAU basketball, and there are times when, you know, tournaments want to get these games over quickly, so their overtime role is sudden death.
Basket?
See, but that's... I mean, come on.
You win the tip. If you win the tip.
Some desperation shot from, you know, it goes in and you win.
It's worse than that. Here's what happens. You win the tip, or better yet, you lose the tip, and you're playing defense, and you foul, reaching for the, well, it's in the second half. Presumably, it's going to be 1-1. Which I lost the game. I lost the semifinal like that because it was the second half. You know, it was the second half extended, so both teams were in the 1-1. We lost the tip. Or no, we won the tip, turned it over, and our girl tried to get the ball, you know, tried to sweep the ball. They called a foul, mostly because they wanted to get the game over with. The other team went 1-1, hit the free throw, game over.
Well, here's what's stupid about that and what's stupid about this 3-on-3 basketball rule. You play a timed game, a timed 10-minute game, and the U.S. was up like 4 points at 1.2 and ended up losing the lead. You play a timed game, 10 minutes, just so that you get to overtime and the clock is no longer a factor? I mean, the game is dictated by the clock. I mean, how do you not put more time on the clock to allow for, it's basically changing the whole standard of the game when you get to overtime.
To win it on a foul shot is stupid. That's all I'll say.
That's the biggest thing.
The concept of overtime that they take away from the clock, which is the main premise of, you know, baseball is innings. It's not timed. But like basketball, football, it'd be like if you get the ball in football and you just go down, kick a field goal, it's over. It's kind of like the overtime rules in football, like that people have been so mad about. Which is why they changed them.
Right.
It's dumb that it's just, well, you can make a three and it's over and it's not time. Like, you don't get a minute to potentially.
At least here, both teams, you're right, I guess.
Both teams don't have a chance to possess the ball. You just make a three and it's over.
Well, I don't like the Elam ending. I would rather it be like 2 minutes. Put 2 minutes up on the clock.
It should be.
Because in that game, there's a lot of possessions in 2 minutes.
Right.
That's how you do it. I don't like the Elam ending as a whole. Do you like those Elam?
No.
Like that,
no.
The TBT tournament, they use that Elam ending. I think it's stupid. I watched the one game, and I was like, I have no interest in watching this game now because this is dumb. The let's put 8 points or whatever on the board, and there's a target score, and whoever gets there first wins. I don't like that at all. Anyway, Bob, speaking of roles, we didn't actually get to the role that we were going to talk about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.